Good morning. Thanks for joining us. If you're online watching, thanks for your patience. It takes us a few minutes sometimes to get things up and rolling, but we're rolling now, praise the Lord. God does provide. So today we're going to go start our adult small groups, and this is on the 15th part of it, Pray Daily for Spiritual Growth. So let's open with prayer, and then it's always good to go before the Lord. And then we'll start with the small groups. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Mighty God, please help us right now to empty ourselves of any of the negative effects of the week. Even if nothing big and traumatic happened, just our thoughts sometimes can get away from us during the week. So help us now, Lord, to just get rid of all negativity, shed all that stuff, not carry that baggage with us as we move forward in this small group, so that we can have fertile hearts, open ears, and open eyes to see and hear what you want us to see and hear. Thank you for this time, and please bless it as we try to get closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is Pray Daily for Spiritual Growth. I'm going to turn this off, so try to save the bulbs every chance I get. Now, in the introduction part, it says, disciples need a support team. So if you're running a business and you're trying to do anything, they have support teams in place. Can you think of any reasons why you would need a support team? Or what's the big deal with a support team? Why even mess with one? You think you could just use all your resources just to do other stuff. Why even mess with a support team? Put that down there for our fine friends, the Trotters. Good morning. God bless you. So why even mess with a support team? Why do disciples need a support team? Kind of walking back, thinking about it. Maybe I walked off screen. Mark's going to get after me. Okay, chunky guy's back. Yep, chunky guy's back. Now, we live in a sin-fallen world, don't we? So things happen. They even have shirts that say, stuff happens. You need a support team because these beloved disciples, these people you're trying to help, and you yourself, are constantly swayed and affected and pulled and pushed and prodded. We live in a sin-fallen world, and you're constantly affected by sin. There's going to be a lot of stuff that happens. You need a support team. You need to be able to keep your thoughts on the straight and narrow. When you're on a road, here's an example. If you're on a road and say you're going to Detroit, Michigan. My lovely wife and I were going to Detroit one time to visit some of her family and friends. We were on some of the worst roads, and incidentally, I had overinflated the tires. I'm surprised they didn't blow. I think I overinflated them by like 30 pounds or something crazy. I mean, they were like rocks. We were in a sports car. That thing beat us to death by the time, about did, beat us to death by the time we got there. But the point is, if you're going to your destination and you're on the junkiest road on the planet, you might pick a different road next time, but you're not going to stop going to your destination. In spite of all the bumps, potholes, things that happen, deer running out, as long as you don't obviously do so much damage that you have to stop. But in general, you're not going to stop going to your destination. It's the same thing with this discipleship and your walk with Christ. You're going to hit potholes. There's going to be things that happen. You're going to get on rough roads, but you're not going to stop going to your destination, getting closer to Christ and achieving heaven, which has been paid for us, thank God. But you're not going to stop. You might pick a different method or a different road if that one was too bumpy or too choppy, but you're not going to stop. So it's the same thing with these disciples, with their support team. You got to help them realize that they're not going to stop. This is a continuous process. You continuously grow, some of us faster than others at times, but then gracefully, with God's grace, we help pull each other along. But like I said, even if it's on about beat you to death, the bumpiest road on the planet, you're not going to stop going to your destination. You just might get off of it and pick something different, or next time definitely choose something different. So disciples need a support team. B, it says, prayer is a weapon of warfare. Wow, that's kind of a big dun, dun, dun. It's a weapon of warfare. Why would they make that statement? Anybody have any thoughts on it? Mr. Mike, prayer is a weapon of warfare. Dun, dun, dun. That sounds serious.
I can think of two examples in the scripture that would sort of lead to that. One of them talks about the word as being a sharp two-edged sword. So when we're speaking in prayer in agreement with God, we're speaking according to his word, then that's like swinging a sword. And then another example of that is in the Old Testament, where they were in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And they, instead of going out into the middle of the battlefield, they stood there and sang. And then all around them, their enemies defeated themselves because they were praising God and calling out to him. And he protected them by doing that kind of a thing. So, I mean, those are just some examples.
Yep. Very good examples. Very, very good. Prayer is a weapon of warfare. Do you guys believe in the spirit realm, world? Do you guys believe in spirituality? Of course, God is spirit. We worship in the spirit. We are flesh around spirit. We are spirit wrapped by flesh. When you start praying, you're speaking to a holy God, the Holy Spirit. You're speaking into the spiritual realm, which is very powerful, much more powerful than you can realize in your flesh. Although this stuff seems the most real to us because we live in it, you're speaking into a spiritual realm, talking to our Holy Father and speaking of spiritual things. Very powerful. So it is very accurate when it says that prayer is a weapon of warfare. As Mike said, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts right down to the basis of us as people, between the flesh and the spirit, cuts down through the marrow, just cuts. It separates absolute. It absolutely separates truth from untruth. It is a very powerful weapon. Now see, it says Christian living is a team effort, which we kind of covered with the support team. Christian living is a team effort. And then it says, indeed, prayer is a form of spiritual strength training. You flex your spiritual muscles, too, when you pray. At first, it can seem fumbly and awkward. I remember the first time I was asked, John asked me to pray in public. I was like, you'd have thought my lips were glued together in some part. I just couldn't get things separated. I was all self-conscious. But once you realize that you're literally talking to your gracious Holy Father, even though it's in front of people, you're still just talking to God, it became much easier. Because some people, they're so eloquent, they come up and they can use words that are 10 syllables long and just pray the best prayers. And everybody is, yeah! But again, it's a gift that they have, and it's meant to edify and help us. But what they're doing in their basic sense also is realizing that they're just talking to the Holy Father directly. And it's a part of strength training. They've flexed their muscles with prayer to the pretty strong. Now, number one, it says interdependence. Pray for your disciples' faithfulness in worship. Their faithfulness in worship. Whenever stuff goes down, goes wrong, hits the fan, one of the first things to go is your worship for a lot of people. When life gets busy, life gets tough, they stop going to the Bible group. They start hit and miss at church. They don't, you know, just one of the first things to go is the spiritual factor, which is one of the biggest things we generally need at all times, especially during a struggle. So it wasn't too long ago I was going through a huge spiritual battle. And the one thing that helped, it helped me grow unbelievably once I got through it, but was I didn't stop. I didn't stop attending Living Well. I didn't stop attending both the men's groups I go to. I came into the Wednesday nights and I prayed, even though it was hitting the fan, as they say. It was pretty tough, I'm not going to lie. But I didn't stop. And that is what helps get you through. Because a lot of times, once you stop coming in, the problem just perpetuates itself. It can snowball, keep growing. Because once again, you're not getting into that spiritual realm where the power is, the true power is. That's why Christ was able to walk through life as he did here, wrapped in flesh, with a peace that he had. Because when he left, he said, my peace I give to you. He was saying, my personal peace. He wasn't saying just peace, man, like the 70s. Peace. He was saying, my personal mind at rest, my personal contentment, even in the storm, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So it's a big deal to stay faithful in worship. It's one of the few things that will get you through some of the toughest times, but it is one of the first things to go. I'll say that again. So make sure you stay faithful. Since Tracy and I have been coming in 2005, and this isn't a braggadocious thing, as they say, we have missed, you can count it on one hand, basically, the times that we haven't been here for worship itself, attendance. But I have come in and I have set up on those days. The one time we couldn't, I was in Seattle, Washington. But I attended church at Seattle. I logged on and watched you guys. I, through texts, sent in questions. I was present during this group, adult small group, because John took my questions and we were able to communicate. So I was still here, even though I was on another coast. So in all those times, since 2005, I have not missed a single Sunday one way or another. Not a single one. And it's not because I'm so cool and I'm so great, but it's because I desperately need this growth. I desperately need it. And people that know me from that time, even from 3 months ago, but especially that time, I am not the same person. I am a new creation. I think differently, walk differently, talk differently. So we desperately need that faithfulness and worship. So B, it says, pray for your disciples' obedience to the Holy Spirit's guidance. This is a big one. A lot of times we know the right or wrong thing to do. You know, but you don't do it for whatever reason. Our butts get in the way, our big butts. I would, Lord, but a little bitty three-letter word, but it can get in the way. Okay, Lord, I know you want me to, but. So we pray for our disciples' obedience to the Holy Spirit, to its guidance. It says in C, pray for your disciples' Bible study times. When you send your kid off to college to better themselves, of course, this is kind of in a worldly sense, but it can be spiritually also. But they're going to have to crack open a book. They're just going to have to do it. Unless they're the one or something unusual, completely unusual. But in general, they're going to have some study time. Well, it's the same thing as a Christian. You cannot expect to grow in the college of Christ without cracking a book. And the book is the Bible. So pray for your disciples' Bible study times. And D, it says, pray that your disciple will pursue holiness, that they will want this. They will pursue it. So talk with them. An example of something, though, is as they get better at what they do following Christ, as they start to grow and Christ is pruning the death off of them, the dead branches, the bad habits. Like I've recently been talking to one of my mentors. They asked me how I was doing, and I said, so good, it scares me. And he said, what do you mean it scares you? You should never be scared by this. So what are you talking about? And I said, well, I'm so used to rolling good up to a point and then just messing up. Just everything falls apart. And he's like, no. He says, now you're speaking power directly to the enemy. He says, no. He says, that doesn't even. So what he had to do is show me that as a Christian, this is a natural part of the process of becoming obedient and wanting to be obedient and living clean, living without all these problems that you make. So I had to redo my thinking because part of the old man was still saying, this is too good, you know, something's got to happen. Because in the world, that's the way it is. If somebody comes up and offers you something that's too good to be true, what is it? It's too good to be true. So here I am rolling large, doing great. So when he said, how are you doing? How was your week spiritually? So good, it scares me. He's like, what does that mean? So I'm glad he talked with me about that because I realized that it shouldn't scare me. This is natural, and I should be praising God for it and not being a little bit worried that because now my next mess up's right around the corner. So teach your disciple to pursue holiness and what that looks like and to understand the process. When people go to physical therapy, I have to explain the process. A lot of times we have unrealistic expectations, and that can cause all kinds of problems. So help them with their realistic expectations of the holiness. So in E, it says, pray that your disciple will influence others for Christ. That is a big one too, to be salt and light, that they will influence. And generally, when a person starts, well, generally it just happens because there's power in the word. It doesn't come back void. So as you speak life into this person, it's going to come back with positive, life-bearing fruit. Others will be able to eat of that fruit and benefit also. The death is being trimmed off of them. The deadly habits, the things that are not what the Spirit would want, that grieve the Spirit, it's being trimmed off. They will produce life-giving fruit, and they will influence others. Others will eat from it. Now, in two, you have prayer partnerships. It says two or more believers may team up to pray for pre-believers, new believers, or other believers. So the two of you can meet for coffee. It doesn't have to be a huge formal, however it looks to you, however God leads you, you can meet for coffee, a soda. You could do it over the phone. Yeah, I mean, you could as loosely do it as text. Say, for the next 5 minutes, I'm going to be in prayer. So the two of you can agree. So for the next 5 minutes, you're in prayer, because God is not affected by distance and time and separation. So, but however that looks to you, believers can team up to pray for pre-believers, new believers, and other believers. B, it says, biblical history proves that there is power in partnerships. Now you know this, united we stand, divided we fall. Unions, it's the whole thing behind unions. There's a power in partnership and meeting. And when you're talking about the spiritual stuff, if the two of you get together, some of the songs that we're going to sing today says, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop him? So if you two get together and you have the power of Christ in there, there's nothing on earth can stop it. Or like a TV show used to say, no power in the verse. What was that, Serenity or whatever? Firefly, no power in the verse can stop me. There's no power in the universe that can stop you. So, and one, underneath the B there, it says, two brothers were called to be disciples. An example of power and partnership. Two brothers were called to be disciples. And two, it says, two disciples were sent to prepare for Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. Remember, he sent them out two by two anyway when he sent them out. Three, it says, disciples were sent out to minister, here's that part, two by two. He doesn't generally just leave you alone. There's where the big in the garden, the thing happened, the discrepancy. Some people talk about this and that. But Satan's MO is to get somebody by themselves and then to start his messing around, being a bully. And then four, it says, 70 disciples were sent out to minister two by two. So it says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So if you're in agreement with the Holy Spirit, you two of you can ask for anything. In agreement with that Holy Spirit, in agreement with God and his work and his plan, you can ask for anything, and Christ said it will be done for them. Powerful stuff. Now in C, it talks about prayer partners. Prayer partners, one, strengthen individual courage. You can feel pretty beat up. I remember, especially younger in my walk, I'd go to the men's group, and I felt like it was a foxhole, like I was in there from the war, and I was getting my clips ready again, getting my gun oiled up, getting my clips full of ammo again. I just felt like I was reloading, getting recharged, because it can be really rough when you're fighting a lot of bad habits and the world itself with all of its influence. So prayer partners strengthen individual courage. They also, in two, help to offer individual weaknesses, They help to offset individual weaknesses. You can talk about what you've been struggling with, pray for each other, and get some spiritual help. Three, it says, keep each other focused. Once again, I'm kind of like a raccoon. There can be something shiny over there, and I can just go right off track. I could be following God, doing great, and then look over there and just be gone. And God's just shaking his head. It's like, oh, this guy. So it helps you stay focused. Number four, it says, remind each other of prayer concerns. We can struggle pretty badly during the week, but life happens. People get sick. People die. People struggle in school. Cars break down. We have all kinds of concerns throughout the week. I mean, that's a tip of the iceberg, as we know. But you can come to each other and remind each other of prayer concerns. Because then what you do is you help them stay focused. You give them more courage. You help their weaknesses, as some of the examples that were given above. When they leave, they feel better. You lifted that person, and they can see more clearly. Because otherwise, they start to fret, and they try to figure things out by themselves. And that's never a good thing, to think that it's all up to you, because God can do way more than you ever could. So you help them out. You bring your prayer concerns. And then in 5, it says, widen the area of influence. Prayer partners, widen the area of influence. Now in D, it says, prayer partnerships are practical. Someone might think they're impractical, evidently. They put that in there. But prayer partnerships are practical. From what we've been discussing here, talking about, thinking about, you can see how practical it is, how applicable it is. Now in E, it says prayer partnerships may be used in addition to individual prayer, of course. You're to be in individual prayer with the Father all day long, all the time. You're to be in communication with Him. So that doesn't mean you're sitting down on a bench and just with your head down praying all the time, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to drive anywhere. You wouldn't be able to work, make money for your kids and everything else, bills. But while you're walking around through the day, you're to be mindful of the Spirit and be in contact with God. So as you're walking through, you can hear the birds say, Lord, the birds are beautiful. Thank you for the day. And you keep moving. As you see somebody, say, hey, brother, God bless you. You're constantly doing spiritual things, communicating with God in the world. But partnerships, prayer partners, can be used in addition to individual prayer. So if you really have a pressing need, they might be talking about this here too, you can pray individually about it. Doesn't mean that you have to have a prayer partner to pray for something pressing. God wants you to bring your concerns and needs to Him. He is the ultimate parent. But prayer partnerships are practical, and they're very beneficial in addition to your individual prayer. Now in 1, in E, it says, what is a prayer partnership? Well, in A, it says it's an agreement between two or more people to pray daily. You obviously have to be in agreement to start with about what you're praying about. But they said it's also an agreement that you're going to meet. If you can't do it daily, that's up to you guys also again to decide that time. But it says an agreement between two or more people to pray daily. B, it says for people on their prayer list, you can come to the group with a list. Nothing wrong with that. Yep, so come to the group with a list of people to pray for and pressing needs. So I don't know where a friend's going to sit at, but I'll put a couple of those out there. Hey. Yep, so for people to use on their prayer list. C, it says, for a specific period of time. So that can be either at each prayer meeting or, say, for 2 weeks we're going to do this, meet at a certain times. You can define times, but it says for a specified period of time. And then D, it says in agreement with Matthew 18:19. That's what we read earlier, where two or more of you gathered, anything that you ask, the Father's going to do it if you ask for it in Jesus' name. And it's in agreement with the Holy Spirit, but it says anything that you two agree upon on earth concerning anything that they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. So you're in agreement with Matthew 18:19. And why wouldn't you be? Because the Bible has never been caught in a lie. It never will be. It's the truth. So that verse in Matthew is the truth. So now number 2, it says, what do prayer partners do? Well, it says prayer partners pray together, either in person, by phone, or by other appropriate means, video conferencing as an example. But they pray together. The example I gave with the text is a very removed one, but I was trying to make it comfortable with people. But in general, it's best to physically be in the same area at the same time. Prayer partners pray together. Person, by phone, or other appropriate means. Somehow that you're in agreement, you're aware of the other one. 3, it says, how should prayer partnerships be formed? That's a good question. It's the same thing with small groups when you're going to have a group. You don't just usually willy-nilly So how do prayer partnerships, how are they formed? And A, it says prayer partnerships may be formed from an organized prayer effort, such as prayer cells or big brothers, big sisters, discipling ministries. So you can, this can start from something else that's already started in place. Something that involves organized prayer to start with, and then you can decide to branch off in addition to what you're doing. It shouldn't be a substitution if you can help it. But in addition to what you're doing, you can branch off and pray together. And then in B, it says, prayer partnerships may be formed from friendships or staff relationships within the church. Really, relationship, bottom line. Friendships, staff relationships, organized prayer meetings or other functions, big brothers, big sisters. Relationship is the common denominator, the common core through all of that. Anyone that you're in relationship with who is a brother or sister in Christ, and in general, if it's just the two of you meeting, it should be, if you're a brother, it should be a brother. If you're a sister, it should be a sister with you. I would mention that as a word of caution. I'm not going to limit the Lord in what he's doing, but typically guys and ladies don't typically meet by themselves, especially if they're married. This is just a word of caution. I don't need to beat that one down. You're picking up what I'm laying down. But in general, from relationships is where you start to form your prayer partnerships. And D, it says, or in 4, boy, I almost need glasses up here. It says, what are the qualifications of a prayer partner? Well, in A, it says that they completed or complete a basic Bible study or discipleship course. They have basic rudimentary understandings, are Christian, and have completed a basic Bible study. And B, it says, complete a prayer partner training session. That would be optimal, but that isn't always applicable. There isn't always one around. But complete a prayer partner training session. And C, it says, active in the church, preferably members. So in general, they would be active in the church. Typically, people who meet for prayer partnerships and meet for prayer sessions usually are to the point where they're active in church. So active in church. D, it says disciples who have a solid witness. And E, it says able to keep confidences. Once again, you don't want all your business on the 10 o'clock news or anybody else's business. I gave the example of a men's group where I went in, had a spiritual need, downfall need, needed something strengthened, shored up. And when I walked into church, the men's group was on Saturday. I walked in on Sunday to church. Like I said, I haven't missed. Praise the Lord. And a lady came up to me and said, oh, we've been praying about you, and just expounded on the whole thing. Just knew every detail of it and expounded all over it. I was like, holy cow. Surprised me. Took me a little off guard. But, of course, the next men's group, we had to talk once again about tight lips that we appreciate the concern and, you know, wanting, in a sense, to help, because I don't think it was done out of malice. But your business is your business, and you don't want everybody broadcasting it across the 10 o'clock news. So they have to be able to keep confidence. And then F, it says, known for faithfulness. You would prefer that they would be known for faithfulness. And then G, it says, of the same age range. That can be there, because you can get into your mentoring younger people, and they can be a prayer partner also to a degree. But for the sake of this group, it says of the same age range. Now 5, it says, when and where should prayer partners meet? Like I say, they really get into the nitty-gritty with this stuff. It says prayer partners should plan to meet at least once a week. There's a lot that happens every 7 days. And as you've seen signs out in front of churches, It says 1 week without prayer makes 1 week. And you've heard that the way it's spelled, they're doing the play on words. But 1 week, W-E-E-K. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week, W-E-A-K. Not strong. So once a week, optimally, at least once a week. In six, it says, what should be included in the prayer partnership meetings? Well, A, sharing Bible promises regarding prayer or faith. The Bible promises are great to get into because, once again, it builds everybody up, the truths of the Bible, because we can be pretty knocked down from the week and things that happen in life. In B, it says, sharing of prayer concerns from the prayer list. And this isn't meant to be holy gossip, as a word of caution, but just an honest list, a quick short list. God knows the needs for all these people. So try not to make it a holy gossip session. But you have your prayer list, and then you can have the concerns prayed for. C, it says mutual encouragement. Once again, you're in that foxhole together, getting your clips ready to go back out into the fray. There was a movie that said that, into the fray I go, the last good battle I'll ever know. Will I live or die today? Will I live or die? I know that sounds dramatic and everything, but once again, that lion, Satan, he's roaring, prowling around, looking for someone to devour. So have your clips ready. So mutual encouragement. D, it says praying for the other prayer partner. Of course, lift them up. The more you lift them up, the stronger they get, and they're able to lift you up. So lift each other up. E, it says praising God for answered prayers. If there's something on that list that becomes answered, praise the Lord, thank God for it. Now in 7, it says, who should the prayer partners pray for? Well, primarily for the needs. You could just say needs and be done with it almost. But it says primarily the needs of pre-believers, new believers, or other believers. Primarily. Take care of God's children. Primarily the needs of the pre-believers, new believers, and other believers. B, it says other names that may be provided by the prayer coordinator, a pastor, pastoral staff member, or from a big brother, big sisters, or prayer cells. So needs and names are mainly what you should pray for. And 8, it says, how long should a prayer partnership last? That's a good question. It says, some will remain prayer partners for long periods of time. Even for life, they can meet. They'll remain prayer partners for a long period of time. And B, it says, some will form a prayer partnership for an immediate or short-term need. It can be a very specific, very pressing or oppressing need. It can be very oppressive. So you can gather a prayer group for that specific need till that person gets their legs back under them, there's healing, or something gets taken care of by the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit. So some will form a prayer partnership for an immediate or short-term need. It says, and C, the length of time depends on factors as, one, the compatibility of the prayer partners. I suppose that's important to mention. Their compatibility, how they interact with each other. It says the urgency of the need. It can be very urgent at first, but as healing comes, it can become less urgent. Says the support of staff, friends, or family can affect the length of time of it. The support of staff, friends, or family. And then the last one there says the answer to a prayer concern can dissolve that particular prayer partnership, the answer of it. Praise the Lord for the answers. Now, number nine, it says, how can prayer partnerships be multiplied? So it says, as answers to prayer are announced, that's a lot of words there, five of them, as answers to prayer are announced, so as prayers are answered to the prayer partners and to the congregation, including answered prayers from your own discipling effort, it says enthusiasm will begin to build for prayer partnerships. When people see that this stuff works, just like when they saw that Christ was healing and doing all this stuff, people were interested. They showed up. There's enthusiasm. They wanted to see what was going on for various reasons. But it says enthusiasm will begin to build for prayer partnerships. It says testimonies is the next one there. This is how prayer partnerships can be multiplied. Testimonies of new faith commitments may be part of a public worship service. So in A, it says you can announce that the new prayer partnerships will soon be formed. And if they've had success and stories of success in the past, people will be much more likely to want to get involved. So announce that a new prayer partnership will soon be formed. It says launch a 3 to 4 week message series or a short-term class on prayer, on its importance and need. Include Bible verses on prayer and faith. Always bring it back to the book, to the truth. It says include Bible verses on prayer and faith in print publications or electronics, electronic announcements. In the next bullet point, it says announce answers to prayer and worship services or small group meetings. Well, they really get into the nitty-gritty. It says include video clips on prayer in worship services. You can include with all the technology we have. We've been blessed with the projector and everything. It says you can include video clips. It says place signage, signs that include Bible verses or quotes about prayer in high traffic areas of the church or meeting places, something with high visibility. You can place signage there. The next bullet point says have one or more prayer partners. Okay, this is for you guys. I'll leave this one for you. Have one or more prayer partners write a 50 to 100 word article. Now it starts to sound like homework. My dog ate it. Have one or more prayer partners write a 50 to 100 word article on what prayer partnerships have meant to them, letting them know in advance that the article may be edited for word content, for word count and content. But basically have them write their testimony a bit. 100-word article. Now you can do that verbally too. Take a little time out in worship, have them verbally come up if they feel such. Now in B, it says organize a one-session prayer partnership training class. You can't make this too extended or people aren't going to want to come. Make it a one-session prayer partnership training class. And incidentally, you could offer more than one-time class. They offer the same material. In case they couldn't get to it on Tuesday night, might be able to do it on Thursday or Friday or the weekend. So you could do a one-time class, offer it. Now in C, it says conduct the prayer partnership class. It says 2 hours, 120 minutes. Conduct the prayer partnership class. Session one could include how to pray for others, intercessory prayer. You can do 30 minutes of that. Take a break for 10 minutes. Session two, it says for another 30 minutes or so, it says the duties of prayer partners, amplified lesson from the duties of a prayer partner handout. Then it says you can take 20 minutes to form prayer partnerships. Once you've talked about the importance of it and the duties of it, each for 30 minutes with a break in between, then for 20 minutes you can have them, if they can do it there in the group, form a prayer partnership. And it says ask for volunteer partnerships. You can ask for volunteer partnerships, two people that actually want to get together. You can appoint partnerships if they agree to such. And you can have the prayer partners meet for a brief prayer time in that 20 minutes. Now in D, it says, introduce prayer partners in a worship service or meeting. So you can introduce a prayer partner in the public worship service or meeting. It says, have congregation members submit prayer requests. They can submit requests on prayer request cards. And we have that back there in the basket. And if you're watching online, the numbers are there. You can call or text those numbers if you have prayer requests or needs. So that's a great deal that we have the cards back there. Now in E, it says, compile and assign prayer requests in a post-service event meeting. And that's what we do too. Jeanette, God bless her, takes the cards, puts them on a notebook, writes them out with what was put on there without adding or taking away. And then those are brought in, she can make copies of it. And then when we have prayer meetings, like on Wednesday night, she'll hand out the copies and you sit with your copy and at your own pace, at your own time, you can go down each one of those very brief needs mentioned there. Sometimes it'll just be a name and unspoken. People don't have to know your business. Jesus knows your business. So you can have just a name and then a unspoken. So you just pray that into effect. Jesus, you know what's going on in this person's life. You're the ultimate healer. You are the ultimate everything. And you can pray for help, spiritual healing to happen in that relationship with him and whatever's going on in their life. It's out of whack. So you compile and assign the prayer requests, which he does. It says compile duplicate lists. Oh, I just said that. Yeah, she does that. She'll compile a duplicate list so people can pray on list cards. It says place the prayer list cards in church stationery envelopes. Now this would be, I would imagine, if you're going to get them on Sunday, they're not just laying out with everybody's needs on there openly. They're in a card on a list, but put in an envelope. And then the people who have agreed to be in the prayer partnership, it says distribute the envelopes to prayer partners. Then you can distribute those envelopes to the prayer partnerships that have agreed to do that. Next bullet point says give encouragement and instruction, especially if you're the ringleader for such. Christ has appointed you to that spot. For the prayer partnerships and the people that you're mentoring in this, give encouragement and instruction. And then it says close in prayer. As we open and close going to our Father, our mighty God in heaven, you close in prayer. And then Luke 22:32 says, remember the words of Jesus to his disciple. I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. Yep, Christ has already prayed for us. He is outside of time. So his prayer stands for all time for us. I know it's kind of a wild concept, but so when he prayed in the past, that prayer stands for all time. So he prays that our faith will not fail. So any other thoughts? We're coming down to the wire. Coming down to a close. Again, there's a lot of meat in these, and it's not something that typically gets covered a lot. So it's good that we decided to do this series. When we're done with the series, we'll probably get back into something else again. But this has been pretty meaty. It's been very good. It stretched us in a different way, which is good to do, but can be kind of uncomfortable too, raise a lot of questions. So if you have any other questions and thoughts, if you don't want to voice them here, or even think of them later. I know when a doctor or somebody talks to me and says, any questions when you get done? If you can even understand them in the first place, not that I'm going to get stereotypical, but in the body, do we got any questions? And you're like, I usually just have a big blank. Like there's a big hole that just opened up and all my thoughts went, and I sit there and I go, no, I guess not. Okay, very good. See you later. They're gone. And then when you get 2 feet out the door, you're like, what about, how often should I do this? Or what about that? Or you think of 20 different things you could have asked them, but you don't think of it when you're in there. So it's the same thing with this stuff. As you're going through your week, or even a minute from now, if you're like me with the doctor, a minute from now, when we get done and pray the last prayer, the group is done. If you think of something, just come up to me or any of the leaders or John when he comes in after the sermon. He'll be a little busy when he gets here. But if you have any questions, feel free to contact the leadership throughout the week whenever you can. We enjoy that quite a bit, helping out. And it helps us. It really does. It helps us a lot. When you have people approaching you, asking you spiritual questions, it helps you stay focused, keeps everything top of mind. You want to live cleaner, be cleaner, because the example you realize you're setting, it helps us so much. So if you have any questions, feel free to text the numbers, ask them, call them, approach us. We'd be very happy to grow as a result of your question. It helps us too. So if there are no other thoughts, I'll go ahead and close in prayer. We'll go step before the throne again. This privilege that we get to do because of what Christ did for us. He tore the curtain, so we get to step boldly, humbly, but boldly before the Father. So let's pray. Mighty God, the Alpha and Omega, our Father in heaven, thank you for this privilege as a group being able to step before you in your holiest of holies into your throne room and address you personally. Thank you for your sacrifice, for giving your Son for our sins. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins. No one could ever have made you do it, and you made that absolutely clear that you did it willingly. And we thank you for your sacrifice and dying for our sins. Without that, we would never have a chance, not a chance. So thank you for what you've done. And Holy Spirit of our Father God, thank you for resting on us, helping us, counseling us, guiding us, shoring us up when we need it, emboldening us and making us strong. Thank you for everything that you do, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bless our time as we get ready for corporate worship. Please bless John and Jeanette with traveling mercies. And we just thank you so much and feel blessed for having spent this time together. It's with much love and gratitude that we say, in Jesus' name, amen. So we'll have about a half hour of music. Then our beloved John Trotter, our senior pastor, is going to step before us and bring us some word, some good news from the Word. Thank you for joining us.